Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe you haven't noticed, over the last 2 months, as we follow the lectionary, we have progressed from Romans chapter 5 all the way to chapter 12. Each week, the epistle reading pushes us forward in the Romans text, and it pushes you and me through the season of Pentecost. From the Romans text, we have heard about life in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's chapters 5 through 8. And then we move through the righteousness of God in Israel. That's Romans 9 to 11, to arrive at the opening of this section. We now hear about the life of a believer, the life that a believer lives. You see, that's Romans 12 to 16. Paul begins chapter 12 saying, "I appeal to you, therefore, by brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." He says, "I appeal to you, I therefore urge you." In other words, it's your turn, you know. Next in line. Next in line is that common phrase that we hear in retail and fast food. Next in line, the car agent calls you forward. Next in line, you can now check out your library book. Next in line, you can now deposit your check in the bank. Next in line, it's your turn. This is what happens in our text. You see, Paul turns from the indicative to the imperative and says, it's your turn. It's your turn to be a sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, there were many, in fact, 5 types of sacrifices or offerings: the burnt offering, the grain offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering. Each of these sacrifices required an animal or a fruit of the field, and each of these sacrifices had a specific purpose. But ultimately, the purpose of each and every one of these sacrifices was to point the way forward to the perfect and final sacrifice, Jesus Christ. To point to his body, to point to his blood, to point to his death, and even to point to his resurrection. The Old Testament sacrifices were simply a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. That's what it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 17. We know Christ's atoning death on the cross is the only sacrifice needed for sin. We know Christ's resurrection foreshadows our resurrection. The sacrifice of Jesus was offered once, and it was for all. It is Jesus' death and resurrection that opened the holy place for us, and now we can freely enter God's presence. We can enter his presence to offer our sacrifice. You see, it's your turn to be a sacrifice. Oh yeah, from the life God gives to the life a believer lives, it's your turn. It's your turn to be a sacrifice. And we are left asking, what kind of sacrifice? A burnt offering? Can someone give me a light? A peace offering? Boy, the blood is really going to pour. No. Hold on now. You are going to be a sacrifice that is living, holy, and well-pleasing. A living sacrifice. Now that's an oxymoron if I've ever heard of one. An oxymoron is a figure of speech in which two apparently opposite terms appear together. It's jumbo shrimp. Either it's large or it's small. I'm clearly confused. You are either clear or confused. It's bittersweet. Usually it is bitter or the opposite, sweet. But don't you see? You are a living sacrifice. And you are living because the Spirit has given you life. Once you were dead, but now you are alive, and now you confess, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, and the giver of life. God has given you life. Don't you see? You are a living sacrifice. But more than that, you are a holy sacrifice. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices given to the priest and also some other offerings were literally called the holies or the holy things or even a holy of holies or in the plural, the holy of holies, even the most holy things. Thus, holy describes a sacrifice that has been sanctified, purified, and cleansed. Already in Romans chapter 1, verse 7, Paul asserts that God calls the Roman Christians holy. My dear, sweet people, you are living and you are holy. Holy because of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, has bought you back from sin, death, and the devil with his holy, precious, and innocent suffering and death. Jesus died so that you are alive and holy. There, at the baptismal font, your sins were washed away, sins of the past and sins of the future, habitual sins, sins of commission and sins of omission, the whole mess of them, all of them, were washed away. And you were left holy. You are a living, holy sacrifice. But more than that, St. Paul wants you to know that you are a well-pleasing sacrifice. Paul tells us that Christ's sacrifice was a pleasing, fragrant aroma. And you are in Christ. So you are a well-pleasing sacrifice. There is no doubt in Christ. You are a sacrifice that is holy and living and well-pleasing. Therefore, Christ commands us, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Live peaceably with all. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. And contribute to the needs of the saints as we have laid out all year long. Show hospitality. This is what it means to be a living and holy and well-pleasing sacrifice. To show hospitality. Simply put, the Cliff Notes version, the book summary report. Show hospitality. Practice. Pursue. Befriend strangers. And you can do it because you are a living and holy and well-pleasing sacrifice. From the life that God gives to the life a believer lives, it's your turn. God has made you alive and holy and well-pleasing. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Next in line, it's your turn. It's your turn to be a living, holy, and well-pleasing sacrifice. So go, 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 live like it. Show hospitality. Amen. As followers of Christ, keep loving one another earnestly and show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Amen.